Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, hello, Browns fans. Welcome to OBR Weekly. We are on the air again, the colossus of the OBR streaming lineup on a Wednesday night. He is Fred Greetham, the legend. I am Barry McBride, the web dork. And we are here to talk Cleveland Browns with you on a Wednesday night. As always, please get in line with your questions and comments. They power the show. Otherwise, I think you know you have to listen to me try to make up stuff. And that's never any good. So please hit us up with your comments and questions in the YouTube and Twitch chat rooms. And we'll do our best to answer them. So how's it going, Fred? How's life?
I'm enjoying. You sound like a late night FM disc jockey now. Enjoy the cool, dulcet tones of Barry Mack here on the wave.
I'm trying to find my voice, Fred. I'm trying to find my voice. I'm just talking normally, you know?
I'm just giving you a hard time.
That's what you do.
I'm doing good. Busy day. Just seems like I had stories all day long, never ending. Just the life of a reporter covering the Browns. It's never a dull moment. There's never no drama. There's never, you know, you just want it tranquil. No major injuries. Just kind of, you know, the injury is going to happen. But this is just it's always a soap opera, you know. It's like, okay, is he out for like 6 weeks or do we have to do this every day? You know, I realize it's something to hard to figure out, but it is maddening. You know, it's just always with the Browns. It's just always trying to wonder about something.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, from the web dorkian perspective, you know, it's all good. Because, you know, there's something to read about on the website, you know, rather than it just being boring. But we could use a little boring around here. Just, you know, let's get bored with all the winning, you know. That would be
well,
nice.
There's a lot to write about when they win and boring. I mean, I'm finding stuff, you know, like I wrote on the turnovers, how that's defying all odds that you're the worst team in the NFL and the best most important takeaway other than points, and have a winning record, you know, and just, you know, it's fun stuff to even research and talk about because you kind of know that, you know, that despite the things that went wrong, they're still in a pretty good position.
Right. Right. Well, we'd like to find out, you know, one of these years, we'd like to find out what it's like to cover a team that's boring without controversy and just goes out and wins every week. Maybe this stretch of games coming up, we can start finding that out a little bit. Hey, we've already got some questions coming in. Thank you, folks. Appreciate it. Keep hitting us up. Fred, let's start with the big subject of the day. Obviously, Deshaun Watson spoke to the media. And when that first hit the airwaves, you know, that he was going to talk to the media, I think a lot of people figured, well, that's a positive. You know, maybe that's a sign that he's going to play and all that. But after consultation with all the experts on the OBR staff, all the medical experts on our staff, we sort of concluded that we're no closer to finding out whether he's going to play on Sunday after he talked. Is that your prognosis, sir, about Deshaun Watson?
Yeah, pretty much. I think it's a step in the right direction because last week, it was a major flag. He speaks every Wednesday to the reporters. That the quarterback speaks. That's just, I don't care if it's Baker Mayfield, Jacoby Brissett, it's always the starting quarterback. Yeah. And so coming off the bye, we expected he would speak. He did not. Then he did not practice. So I think there was some flack being raised to the PR staff that why didn't he at least talk? But anyway, we got word this morning he would be there for his normal session. Mm-hmm. I took it as a positive. I took it as he cleared up some things. I also took it as he is a little uncertain, but there is a little bit of this still. They're trying to use, I think, the question about the whole issue to their advantage. I don't know if that fools the Colts, just like we said last week. Mm-hmm. I don't think the 49ers cared, you know, and I would think the Colts would prepare for Watson, and anything less would be okay for him. So right. With that said, if you listen to it like I did, you come out of there with several things, you know, some things he kind of contradicted, you know, his interpretation is a strain is also a tear, although a very micro tear or a little, you know, cut type of thing in there. Mm-hmm. So it's really, you know, getting into the minutia with it. The pointed question he was asked, has he turned up the heat and thrown with high velocity to test it? He just then deflected it to, we're doing, you know, what the doctors, you know, trainers are prescribing, and we're staying within that means, which right. He didn't say to what degree that is. So you could say that's a little gamesmanship because he's been doing that indoors, so nobody's really seeing it. So maybe he's about there. He did say, you know, when asked how close or where are you in the process, and he says finishing it up. I took it as, okay, he's just in that end stage. I mean, I was on the radio today and I was asked, wouldn't an 80% Watson be better than a, you know, 100% Walker or whatever? And I would agree with that. Mm-hmm. But in his explanation today, and I can't disagree with this, unless he knows he can throw the ball without hesitation, in the back of his mind, if I throw the ball, is it going to hurt, or not so much hurt, but set me back, you know, 3 weeks, 6 weeks, whatever.
Right, right.
And I don't think you know that. And when he said nicking it up, I think what he meant is they're saying, go a little further, go, you know, every day and see how he responds. Cause he made it sound like he was doing things like a pitcher, throwing, then resting. So, and see how it responds. So I would almost think he would have to practice tomorrow and then see how it responds Friday. But I've been saying that for a while. If you look at the injury reports on most teams, people get excited and you see the stars DNP on Wednesday and mm-hmm. then they're fine. They're out there Thursday. Even the guys with some injuries that you're concerned with, they're DNP on Wednesday and Thursday, maybe they're limited. So I wouldn't write it off for this week, but I surely would think that he needs to be out there at least limited a little tomorrow.
Right.
Because Friday's just a walkthrough. And I really don't think this coaching staff would go into something with a guy that didn't practice. He hasn't practiced. It would have been the 24th of September when they played the Titans. So Sunday would be the 22nd. So even if he's thrown inside, he hasn't thrown a game or practice if he doesn't practice this week in a month. So
right.
I think it's kind of safe to say if he doesn't practice for sure, I would think he would be out this week. And it really baffles me. And I think what caused the confusion, he did explain this, and I'm taking him at his word. He said they thought it was just a bruise all week before the Ravens. On Saturday is when they got the results that it was a rotator injury. And they said, typically, you're automatically sit that one out. That was Saturday. And he said, let's just wait till Sunday morning and see how it is and test it out. Well, they didn't get too far into the testing and he couldn't do it. So that's mm-hmm. where I think that's where a lot of the confusion came, because you thought he was going to play and then he was telling everybody, and then it was like a complete shutdown now for like over 2 weeks. So I don't know what to believe. You know, you can hear a lot of things in his comments. You know, one thing you think is optimistic, then the other one is, oh, he's in, he's out. He did say a big clarification he made was that he will not go out there and jeopardize the team. Mm-hmm. If it's better for him to stay out, if he can't make all the throws and do what he needs to do, that he would turn it over and PJ Walker would do hopefully what he did last week, but maybe a little better. So I just kind of take everybody at their word that they're not completely sure yet, but it isn't surprising he didn't practice today. I don't think it's all out the window, but I would think it would be if he doesn't practice tomorrow. That's just my personal opinion, but we could have the same thing again. And now Stefanski talked just before practice today, and now he doesn't speak again till the final injury report comes out Friday. So that's when he would say, yeah, Deshaun's out, or PJ Walker start. He did say he would start for the second straight week, which is a little confusing because they haven't brought him up to the 53-man roster. So maybe if Watson looks like he can go, but you'd still think he'd be the backup. But it kind of seems like they're saving that elevation for Walker only if he's going to start or something. I don't know, but who knows? We'll see.
Yeah, kind of humorous to me that we have so many people there frantically reading tea leaves and insiders floating out, you know, all kinds of rumors about, you know, which muscle it is a tear. And it turns out it's a micro tear in his rotator cuff after they did the MRI. I also have a minor tear in my rotator cuff on my throwing arm, which that and my untold wealth is the only things that I have in common with Deshaun Watson. I also cannot throw a football very effectively at this point in time. Hopefully,
well, I was going to say it probably doesn't affect your throwing.
No, it didn't affect my throwing. But at any rate, we have a lot of people who've been spending a lot of time trying to read the tea leaves, and we heard after that first game he was out, oh, it might be 4 to 6 weeks, you know, and that's what it's turning out to be.
Well, he did say it's day to day. I could be ready today, tomorrow, Sunday, next week. It could even be 2 weeks. Well, 2 weeks is the 6 week mark, you know, and you have to think with all the treatment he's been getting this Sunday, the day of the Colts game would have been the 4th week anniversary. So, you know, he's right at the 4, you know, when it was 2 to 6 weeks, he's right in the middle or at the beginning. So I don't know. I mean, it's really going to come down to, can he make that throw that's necessary, you know, in the game? And I don't think anybody's really going to know, you know, but I don't think they're going to push it if it's any question in there. It's just, you know, everybody wants, we're in a black and white society, you know, yes, no, you know, and a lot of, when it comes to the athletes and the injuries are, same thing with concussion, you know, it's like Anthony Walker. Is he going to get out of the concussion protocol? Who knows, you know, and it's always up in the air. So I guess the good news is you won a game without him. I don't know if you can press your luck. Everybody would say, oh, the Colts aren't as good as the 49ers, but I don't like their chances if Watson doesn't play, because you just can't expect the defense to do every week, shut them out completely.
Yeah. I wrote about that this morning. My level of paranoia is pretty high, even with the Colts, even facing the Colts on Sunday, about their ability to pull off 2 in a row, particularly without Watson. So that muscle heals when it heals, and then he'll show up. What about Joel Bitonio? He was supposedly limited in practice today. Did we hear anything about him?
Yeah, he practiced, and he was in a spot at captain, and I saw him. I videoed. I put it on X, him running. He looked pretty good to me. We didn't talk to him, probably talk to him. Usually his day's Thursday. We knew, again, and Omen, he wasn't going to play last week when he didn't speak to the media and he wasn't in the locker room. We didn't know at that time he had arthroscopic surgery on his knee. That was a little nugget that the coach didn't drop till Friday, you know, and no wonder he didn't play. But he said last week on Friday, Stefanski, that he came really close to keeping his streak going, and he was pushing hard for it. It comes at a good time, and because of the Watson talk, that's an under the radar, because Michael Dunn, who played for him the whole week, he played every snap. I saw him limp out with a walking boot on his foot, and he got put on IR with a calf injury. So you'd be down Batonio and Dunn, your top two left guards, if Batonio don't play. But he looked good to me. I mean, I think it's natural to put him as limited when he missed a game and coming off of surgery. So, but I think the way they're talking, they'd be optimistic he'll be ready to go. The other guys, he didn't really give a lot of information on Hunt or Newsom or Harrison Bryant, obviously with Walker. So those were the four that were listed with injuries. I saw Newsom after the game just doing interviews, walking around. I didn't see anything. I don't even know what his injury is. I didn't see anything unnormal. And I don't know what the degree is. But again, it's a Wednesday. So I think Hunt, a lot of it's just getting back into shape. You know, he played, then he had a bye. Now he's coming off a couple weeks. So anyway, I put out videos kind of, I thought it was funny because Hunt didn't practice and the other two guys, or Pierre Strong's was working in special teams and Deion Jackson. So with the running backs was just Jerome Ford. And they have Stump Mitchell, the coach. He has assistant coach and they have like an intern. They had three guys coaching him up. If you look, they were working on ball security and they had all three of them on him pounding. And I just thought it just was hilarious to see. Now there's some 3-on-1 ratio in great coaching. So
there you go.
I think, you know, I haven't heard anything that Hunt is too serious. So I would think he'd be ready to go by Sunday, but we'll see you again tomorrow.
Yes, we will. Newsom supposedly a hamstring, according to the injury report, and Hunt a thigh, they say. So we'll see if they reappear on the injury report again tomorrow. All right, let's go to some of the questions that we have stashed up. We got a few. If you've got one, please feel free to hit us up in the chat room. We'd love to hear from you. We got at 7:11 p.m. exactly. We got two questions from Paul Spencer and E. Gillen that were almost identical. And Paul asked, you think we're going to see much improvement in P.J. Walker's game? We won, but he was rough. Yes, he was. And E. Gillen asked, Fred, do you think Walker can up his game with a week of practice? And specifically, I would add to that, Fred, some of his decision-making, particularly around the goal line where he tried to force a pass instead of just running with the ball, was a little bit disturbing to me. Do you think we're going to see some improvement from PJ if he plays again?
Well, I would hope so. I wasn't that impressed with him. I mean, you don't want to be nitpicky, but on that final drive, those penalties bailed him out, you know, to keep the games over. He did make a great throw on fourth down. That takes, you know, pressure to, and David Bell caught the ball. But yeah, I think it'll be better just because he knows definitively the situation. And he made it sound like last week that he was told a little earlier than we might have been led to believe that they decided Watson wasn't going to play. So I think he would have that mindset that I'm starting, and be ready. As far as decision making, I don't know. I mean, it seems to come with experience. He hasn't played that much. I mean, I would think anybody, even a high school quarterback, would know in that situation when you need a field goal to win the game, you do not throw it into three guys on the defense. Right. I mean, they literally just dropped the interception and it was game over. Stefanski said he knows that he has to run in that case, and he didn't. So you hope he learns, but I don't know. I mean, I think he'll play better. I mean, on the he got the ball to Mari Cooper a couple big times. I think they just got to go to him a little more. I mean, every time they threw his way, it seemed like he went up and made a play. I would just do that a little bit more. And I would like to see, you know, a little bit more running. I expected him to be more of a runner. And to me, whether it's Josh Dobbs, DTR, PJ Walker, you got all these guys with the skill set. To me, that seems to be the safest thing you can do. And I'm not necessarily saying running up the middle. I'm saying, you know, fake the play action, whatever, bootleg, run pass option. If it's not there, run to the sideline, pick up 4, 5, 6 yards.
Right.
You know, I think they had him officially with 3 rushes for a yard. I think he kneeled, you know, so I don't even remember him really running. Even on that ball that he threw in the end zone late, if he'd have just run, even if he didn't make anything, they would have had to use their last timeout, you know, or the clock would have kept running. So, yeah, I think he'll play better. I still would feel the Browns have a better chance, obviously, if Watson was playing. I don't know how many times you can, you know, push Lady Luck,
right,
that you're going to have a guy miss a field goal to end the game or any of a number of scenarios there. But the offense did have a lot of mistakes. I mean, penalties called back, a lot of people forget. That play to Njoku, 32-yard touchdown, got called back on the hold by Wyatt Teller. We saw that play throughout Greenbrier, and I keep waiting for that, you know, that screen to Njoku to work because it looks so good, you know, in training camp and in the preseason and practices. And, you know, it's unfortunate it got called back. They never really tried it again, I don't think. And so it's like,
right,
same thing with the pitch to Hunt, you know, it's like, hey, if it worked, how about trying it again until they stop it? But
exactly. Anyway,
we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Well, let's keep going back to the questions and the comments that I've got saved up here. Let's go to Raphael. He's commenting on my level of paranoia. He says it's not paranoia. It's experience and history with the Browns. Follow a great win with a bad loss against a team on paper the Browns should have beat. Does seem to be, even this season, Fred, this team's been on a roller coaster. Bengals followed by the Steelers, you know. And then we had, you know, our third game followed by the Ravens. It's just been... it's been quite the downer, the up and down, you know, sort of roller coaster season. And we hope that doesn't happen this week.
Win, loss, win. You know, it has been roller coaster. They haven't won 2 in a row. And for all the excitement about the 49ers win, a loss this week kind of, to me, takes that all out of the picture because
yeah.
You have to win games you're expected to win. The good news is in the 5 games, I mean, the 49ers are clearly a good team. The Browns beat them. I think most people would have assumed, especially with the hand they were dealt, they're very, very fortunate to win that game. And as you wrote, mm-hmm. any given Sunday, that was any given Sunday.
Yep.
But the previous 4 games, I don't think you can look at any of those teams and say, those teams are clearly better than the Browns, and the Browns should have, you know, lost all of them. They're clearly as good this year and can compete with the Bengals. The Steelers, the Browns handed them that game.
Yeah,
you know, there's no,
definitely.
The offense gave them 2 touchdowns. And what I said with the 49ers, the offense just can't lose the game. And they almost did. That interception, you know, almost cost them the game. The Ravens, you could say the same thing. The offense gave them two touchdowns. Of course, mm-hmm. you didn't have Watson playing. So that's what it comes down to is if Walker plays this week, it's almost got to be a game management with no mistakes. If you take out the mistakes, I think the Browns win that game even more easily last Sunday. So no mistakes, and the defense has to start getting takeaways. As I wrote, it's unbelievable. They're tied for the worst in the NFL with only four takeaways all year. And they are tied with the Patriots, 31st. The Patriots are like 1-5. In the bottom 12 teams in that, I wrote a story. It's up there today. It kind of got lost in all the news. The Browns, there's only one other team that has a winning record that has a negative turnover ratio and happens to be the Dolphins. But they're much higher up on the list than the Browns are. So mm-hmm. you have to start quit taking or giving the ball away. And I'm confident they're going to start getting takeaways. They have playmakers on this defense, and it's just a matter of time. But they got to quit giving the ball away and giving the defense. I don't know how many touchdowns overall they've given up, but I know three of them were basically, well, actually four of them were basically gifts. And you could even say five. Two, the Steelers scored. You know, the third one, Jackson scored after an interception returned to the 10. So they only had 10 yards to defend. Last in the 49er game, they returned the interception to the 8. And then that other Ravens one was to the 38. So that might be a little where the defense should have maybe stopped them. But four of those touchdowns were just totally gifts from the offense. So mm-hmm. you got to eliminate that. And absolutely. then you have a legitimate chance. Without Watson, worst case scenario, Walker manages the game, no turnovers. The defense does their thing. You even get into a field goal game. I still think the Browns, you know, can hold the Colts under enough points that the offense can score enough to win.
Right. Well, one of the things to watch out for is that the Colts have a pretty good field goal kicker who outdueled Justin Tucker, you know, a few weeks ago to the Browns.
Go to the Browns. Special team kicker of the week.
Yes, yes.
He's kicked 450 yard or more, and that was what everybody was worried about. Because he was a 50% kicker from over 50, and now he's 4-for-4 from 50 or more, and he's kicked one in the last four games, which is a franchise record. So say what you will about the kicker, and it's indoors. So I think that he should be able to hold his own over there.
Well, I hope so. I hope so. I hope we don't get done to us what the Ravens got done to them. Playing there in Indianapolis. I'm going to ask a question out of Ask the Insiders because it leads to a question that we got asked in the chat room. This actually ties into something we were talking about last week. Bernard52000 in Ask the Insiders asked a very simple question. He asks, are our receivers, wide receivers, the worst as a whole? The worst in the NFL. And if you see any rankings of wide receivers, yards after catch, things like that, there's a case to be made, Fred, that this group is not a very good group of receivers. I just like your take on that. Not that you've evaluated all 32 groups of receivers, but you know, what's your impression on the receiving corps so far?
I have been underwhelmed. I mean, I don't know what their other receivers, you know, the top teams, but even the Chiefs, you know, they went out and made a move to get Mecole Hardman back.
Right.
And they don't really have any standout since Tyreek Hill's gone. Their standouts, their tight end. But again, this kind of goes back to Deshaun Watson. We started to see it in the Titan game. when you have a really good quarterback play, he throws open receivers and the average guys look a little better. And so that's the one thing. Elijah Moore, either they're not using him right, or he isn't what we were seeing in training camp in the preseason.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Every sport has their big, juicy controversy. Boxing has the Mike Tyson ear bite. Cycling has Lance Armstrong. Baseball has its steroid era. Curling has Broomgate. It's a story of broken relationships, houses divided, corporate rivalry, and a performance-enhancing broom.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
Broomgate, available now.
I just don't see them using him downfield. They're just still using him like a gadget guy, east to west, trying to get around the corner on a, you know, to me, a jet sweep would have been what they did with Marquise Goodwin. Now, that guy's fast, and he got around the corner and got 20 yards. Did. Seems like Anthony Schwartz, Elijah Moore, they can't get around the corner. You know, I don't know what it is, but I think Moore is a down-the-field guy. Jake, I've seen film Jake's done in the past of him with the Jets, running down the field, getting open, good routes, and throwing the ball down there. I mean, he's averaging 8 yards a catch. 8 yards a catch, you could have 8 yards a catch, I think, and you're not a 4.3 sprinter.
I am not.
You might be a 9.6 sprinter in the 40. I don't know. But,
at best.
And what about Peoples Jones? He has, what, 6 catches in 5 games? Mm-hmm. I mean, he's disappeared. I mean, the only one you can really count on is Amari Cooper, and I think he's underused. You know, like the other day, he had 3 catches for 96 yards, you know, and it's like every time they threw it his way, went out and made a circus catch or he made a move and it caused the corner to fall down. I just – don't know why you're not throwing it to him more. Some of these teams are going to have good enough corners to double team if you don't get help on the other side. So I've heard talk that they want to use Cedric Tillman more. They got to have somebody emerge. I don't know if you can count on a rookie to just come out of nowhere. So I think it's got to be Peoples Jones or Moore on this roster to step up and make a play.
Right.
I don't know if they're going to make a move for another wide receiver. I've said before, I don't know how much that can change. Now, a guy like Mecole Hardman to the Chiefs, he knows their offense. They know him. He just steps in and he's ready to go. There's not too many that I know former Browns that you want back or that are available. So with that said, yes, I think the wide receivers have been underwhelming. But I don't know if I can put it all on them. It's kind of what we saw in previous years when we didn't have the greatest quarterback play. You know, is it the quarterback or the receivers or the line or no running game or whatever? The other day they ran the ball pretty good, so should have been able to have some time to throw the ball. So, I mean, it'd be ideal to see Watson with this group for a concerted period of time instead of this start, stop, start, stop that we've been seeing. But I don't know. I do feel that Elijah Moore is either being underused or he's not the guy that they thought they were getting in this with that trade second round pick they gave up.
Right. In Moore's defense, the interesting discussion in the chat room as we were talking about this, in Moore's defense, I swear I saw him open a couple of times late in that game where Walker just didn't get him the ball. I'm not an X's and O's guy, but
well, that's true. I don't know what happened to those passes, if he slipped or his arm wasn't good enough, but yeah, you're right. He went and he did a curl back and the ball bounced to him twice. Mm-hmm. It was like quarterback didn't have the arm or just missed through it. But yeah. I mean, that's to me where I think you would use the guy in the seam or in the slant route. You know, if you don't have much time, just a quick slant, right? You know, we saw him use that with Peoples Jones. We saw it in the past work with Landry. We saw it work with mm-hmm. Odell Beckham. You know, you split the seam, and if you do it right, if he's got the speed, it's a touchdown. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you can only ask so many questions, and you get the same answers if you ask them anyway.
Did you see, though, they actually ran a slant to Cooper last Sunday? I was impressed. I was like, more of that, please. Let's see more of that, please.
Yeah, really.
It was nice to see him. At any rate, let's talk a little bit more about Deshaun Watson, because there hasn't been enough Deshaun Watson discussion. Drew in Brick City, this is just a reference back to something we were talking about earlier. Is there any way he doesn't practice on Friday and you can still see him out there Sunday? I know you're a little bit skeptical about this, but is that within the realm of possibility, do you think?
I don't know how this coach thinks, you know, on practices and stuff. You know, even when Mayfield was injured, the only time he didn't start was when they played on Sunday and they had a Thursday night game and he just wasn't cleared or wasn't ready to play. And he was forced to play Keenum. We kind of have this in reverse now. I go back and say the only way they would think it, in my opinion, or justify it would be, let's say Watson can't throw the ball, whatever he can throw it, 50 yards. And they say, you know what, 80% of him, just his ability to, you know, to scramble and throw quick hitters and stuff like that, if he can do that, would be better than the other way around. But being an athlete, or being a competitor, I should say, I've been in situations, you know, not in the NFL, but as an athlete, where if I played, that kind of goes out the window. I'm not holding anything back. And I'm afraid if they don't think, if he isn't 100% cleared, or he can show he can do everything with no pain and no restrictions, I don't think they want to put him out there, because they know that they can't reel it in. If he sees something and he tries to throw a 50 yarder and he injures the arm further.
Right.
You know, I don't know. He didn't seem to know the answer. He didn't think, from what the doctors have told him, that he can injure it further. Mm-hmm. But you would think if it got injured in the first place that you could get the same type injury again. And so, you know, the defense is going to target to try to hit that shoulder. That's why they're so careful about giving out information on injuries, because they don't want to tell the other team that Greg Newsome, now they know he has a hamstring. So if he plays, you'll see him testing him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've had coaches, you know, retired, tell me that's why they're so secretive about injuries. They don't want,
right,
you know, their guys, them to know the extent of the injury.
Right. Well, I think they know that it's the right shoulder of Watson by this point. So I don't think there's anything to be gained by hiding that. Now, here's your proof that this is an OBR program and not talk radio, because we're going to ask a left guard question. This comes from Pat Shea, and Pat wants to know about Betonio, about that knee problem. Do we know if he's been struggling with that knee since game one, or was it more recent? And I don't want to read into this question. I don't know what Pat's motivation for asking the question was, but, you know, maybe Betonio has been a little bit off this year. The offensive line on that side hasn't been as awesome, perhaps, as it's been in years past. And just maybe sort of wondering if that knee might have been slowing Betonio down a little bit.
Well, we haven't been given any definitive information, but Tonio might say a little more tomorrow when he talks. But I do think that, yes, this is something that has occurred likely since the beginning of the season, because I think J.C. Treader had something similar a couple when he was here, and he had a scope, I remember, a week before the season started, and he was ready for the opener. There's no way Batonio wouldn't have had that cleaned up before the regular season if it was bothering him in the preseason or in training camp, in my opinion, because he waited till the bye week, had it done immediately with the hope he'd be ready for the 49ers game. And according to Stefanski, he was very close to being ready. So that tells me he didn't want to have the surgery, but he was on the injury report every week with a knee. And in the past, when he sat out, it was called rest. Now it said knee, rest. So, okay, what was it? A knee or rest? So that there was something in there. And I'm not a doctor, but I don't know if it's cartilage or whatever. There's probably something rubbing in there. Because if he was able to come back in 10 days or whatever, it was probably not too big of a deal, but it was probably enough to nag or irritate him, right? You know, and so it might have affected. I just don't know when that occurred. If it was game one, game two, what practice, whatever, but he clearly waited until the bye with the hope of not missing any time. And it looks like maybe only one game, which would, to his credit, you know, would have been, you know, pretty miraculous. So yeah, I think it has been bothering him. And I saw that some of the grades and things weren't, he wasn't having the greatest year. He's probably playing less than 100%, but less than 100% of Batonio was better than most other options they had. So I did hear Dunn played the whole game on that calf injury and gutted it out. And I don't know how he graded out, but he must have done pretty well or held his own. So, you know, it's a big plus getting Batonio back. Hopefully they're going to need him, you know, as they get things going from here on out.
Right. And you would think it would help Jed Wills a bit as well with his work. A little bit more on Watson. Rafael asks, have there been any confirmed reports that the Browns have talked to the Vikings about Kirk Cousins? I've not heard any. Have you heard any, Fred? I've not heard any solid rumors about the Browns and Kirk Cousins at all.
No.
Although there's,
I don't know. Obviously, there's a connection between, you know, Kwesi and Andrew Berry, but they may have talked, but I cannot see them talking about bringing in Cousins at this point in the season. I mean, okay, again, this is just my opinion. I don't think Watson is, if he doesn't play this week, it's not more than two games, you know, that he would be out. It'd probably take two games to get a quarterback up to speed. Certainly wouldn't be ready to go this week, you know. Because they would have put him on injury reserve. You have to miss four games. And even if you would have done it after the bye, say you didn't, you couldn't have done it for the Ravens game, you still, this would be the second, and that would take you Seattle and Arizona. So they have to think he'd be able to play at least by the Arizona game, or you'd put him on injury reserve.
Yeah.
If you would have really known before, if a lot of people think they did know, well, then you would have put him on before the Ravens game right there when you found out he couldn't go, got that game, got the 49ers. This would be three, and he'd be, you know, good to go, you know, sooner and later. So I just, you know, any quarterback thing, they have to measure it up and say, are they better than what they have now? And it took a month for Walker to get up to speed. They made it sound like he wasn't really ready. He even said he wasn't really ready until last week. So that might also been why Thompson Robinson started against the Ravens. So even a veteran would take a little time, you know, to get up to speed.
Right, right. So yeah, no rumors about that that have any validity to them from our perspective. And the cost for Cousins would not be cheap for a rental. That's for sure. Another point on Watson from E. Marcus Gray. He says he was glad to see DW engaged on the sidelines, killing the rumors about disconnect with teammates. And it was interesting. I wrote about all the conspiracy theories last week, Fred. You were talking earlier about how everybody wants definitive information. No one wants, you know, things to be fuzzy, you know, about what's going to happen. Well, every time there's any doubt, conspiracy theories seem to pop up. And there were conspiracy theories about Watson having problems with teammates or Stefanski or what have you. And his behavior on the sidelines last week, it pretty much helped disprove any of that sort of stuff, don't you think?
No, he's all in. I've talked to players. I mean, he's chomping at the bit. Bad wants to play. I was told, you know, that missing the 49ers game, he was pretty upset. He wanted to play. He wants to play. He does not want to, you know, he was asked about that today, about people have questioned his toughness, that he just didn't want to face a tough team like the 49ers or the Ravens. And he said, you know, he basically said that, you know, it's not true. You know, I want to play, but I'm not going to hurt the team, and doing everything I can to get back out there. So it's one of those things that you can go back and look at his history. He played with a torn ACL when he was at Clemson. And, you know, it's been well talked about his broken ribs and punctured lung when he was with the Texans, that he went and played against Jacksonville. He couldn't fly, so he took a bus to get there. And he said it's not pain tolerance. It's just being able to do everything that's required as a quarterback, right. And he doesn't want to hurt the team. So he says he's heard, you know, the people question his toughness and all that. But so that just, you know, and that's the downside, obviously, as we all know, of the internet or Twitter or X or whatever, Facebook, any of the things. It's a lot of anonymous people taking sniper shots at everybody, you know, and I've had quite a few of my own shares.
Yeah. Yeah, they're out there. The loonies are out there, and they're very, very prevalent on X/Twitter. By the way, if you have had it with X/Twitter, you can find the OBR on Threads. You can find the OBR on Blue Sky. You can even find Barry McBride on Post.News. I'll rename it the OBR if enough people follow me there. But we're all over the place, and wherever Browns fans are, we will go. Also want to shout out E. Gillen for the 5 gifted subscriptions over on Twitch. Thank you very much, sir. It is appreciated, as always. And let's get to some of these more recent questions. Sancho Bermuda asked, what is the Browns ceiling after winning against the 49ers? You saw that game, Fred. Defense, unbelievable. Offense, well, they scored 19 points. That was more than the opposition. It was sort of what you've been saying this whole time. With that defense, you just have to score 22 points. If you have an offense that does that, you're gonna do fairly well and get into the playoffs. But assuming Watson comes back, what do you think this Browns ceiling is?
Yeah, I mean, I wrote about the defense. I dug up a story I wrote in January and pinned it on my X, or formerly Twitter, profile about what I said January 17th when he was hired, and it's proven to be pretty correct. But not to toot my own horn, but I said that was the biggest move they made the whole offseason, you know, even after all the moves they made. But with that said, I didn't expect the defense to be top, necessarily the top defense in the NFL. I just said if they could be in the top half or the top 10, and they definitely could get to the top 10. Right now they're sitting number one.
Yeah.
I don't think they have to be there. but they're giving up 15 points a game. Come on, offense. You got to be able to score more than 15 points a game. Right now, the Browns offense is scoring 19 points a game. Last year, they scored 21 or 22 a game. The defense gave up more than that. You know, in Joe Woods' year, they went to the playoffs. They gave up just under 26 points a game. But the difference was they took the ball away. There was a lot of takeaways, and you don't remember it, but other teams would go 85 yards and you wouldn't think they couldn't stop anybody, but then they'd get a fumble or an interception and right. You go, oh, great defense. Well, sometimes those things are just, they're all trying to take the ball away. But anyway, with that said, the defense I think can be top 10. I think they can hold opponents under 20 a game. Right now, they're holding them under 15. This offense has to get on track to score more than that, and I think they will. It's just I would be much more confident in that happening with Deshaun Watson. He brings so mm-hmm. much to the table, and they were just starting to get their legs under him in that Titans game. They put up 27 points, and you remember they took away a touchdown. Amari Cooper, you know, they said he stepped out of bounds, and he didn't. You know, so he would have had three touchdown passes in that game and 329 yards. So, unfortunately, now you have to think he's going to take a step back and have to ramp it back up. But I think when the offense hits their stride, they're going to be able to score 21 or more points a game. And so I think I'm going to stick with my original prediction, 11-6. Mm-hmm. I think they could win more than that. But as we know in the NFL, you know, you always lose games you shouldn't. The biggest task for the Browns right now is stringing some wins together and beating teams that they should beat. Mm-hmm. They should beat the Colts. They should beat the Seahawks. And they should beat the Cardinals. Now, of course, you got the word that Kyler Murray's going to target to be back for the Browns game, you know, on against the Cardinals. You know, And so all these things being said, who knows what's going to happen. But I think the Browns can win a lot of games and they can continue their rise.
Well, I hope you're right. I agree with you. I picked them for 9-7, but I'm a pessimist, of course, most of the time. So at any rate... Fred has gone dark on us here, so I'm not sure what's going on with his camera. I hear some noise there. You still there, Fred? Nope, he's gone. So in the interim, does it matter, says, are there any rumors worth anything before the trade deadline? And let me tell you, I haven't heard anything definitive. You know, we can speculate, you know, that the Browns, certainly at wide receiver, might be able to use a little shot in the arm. And, you know, Donovan Peoples-Jones might benefit from a change of scenery, perhaps, at this point, because he's going to be a free agent at the end of the year and probably would appreciate being in an environment where he's going to get targeted more. It's inexplicable to me why he hasn't been targeted more. Maybe he's just not getting separation. He's never been great, you know, at getting a lot of separation, but he hasn't been targeted much this year. So at any rate, I haven't heard anything definitive in terms of a in terms of a rumor. Amatora, where is what happened to the chat? There it is. He says move DPJ and Wills to Denver for their left tackle and Judy. With some picks exchanged, I think Jack Duffin would have something to say about that from a salary cap perspective. But I do like the talent. And Drew in Brick City says, New England's left tackle Brown, go get him. So I don't know. I think they're riding with Wills at least for the interim. I know that people want to shore up the offensive line. Because of because of what's going on this year with the lack of offense, but at any rate, I haven't heard anything really solid in terms of rumors involving the Browns. But, you know, with this front office, they are definitely calling everyone, talking to everyone, and they're trying to make things happen. And Sancho Bermuda jumps into the chat and says, David Bell made a big catch last week. Purdue year two, Big Ten rise up. I really liked the Bell pick when it was made. I was not on the train last year with people doubting David Bell because, you know, wide receiver, that particular position, so many wide receivers don't really come into their own until their second or third year. And Bell had such promise, I thought, based on watching him in college. And so I'm very happy to have seen him make that catch. So he's got promise. He's got promise. And Rafa Sells says, I will give DPJ and Bell credit. In the absence of receptions, they are showing up on film with great blocks down the field. Which is obviously part of the job. So there we go. We'll see if Fred is able to make it back. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go into the ATI questions that we have. And one is from Anon 5239702. He says, would Marcus Mariota be a better long-term option than PJ? I know we won Sunday with PJ, but we won in spite of his play, if I'm being honest. And let me say, you know, comment in the chat if you agree or disagree. I've never been on the Marcus Mariota train. I've never really thought that Marcus Mariota was going to be the answer to all the questions. And this one from Paul. Barry, do you think Fred just got sick of talking to you? Undoubtedly true. He has to do this 1 hour a week. It's stipulated in his contract. So the convenience excuse of a camera malfunction probably helped him. But it's the only excuse I have to talk football with Fred all week. So he's forced to do it. Oh, there he is. Welcome back, Fred. It's good to see you. Let's see if we can hit a couple of these little questions as time expires here. Red Leader 74 for you, Fred. Said, Fred, I was mad at Wills, but he is looking better. Do you agree? Jedrick Wills.
You know, I think that he, you know, if he was like a sixth round pick, he wouldn't take so much criticism, but he's picked 10th overall and expected him to be a Pro Bowler. He's not. I don't think it's not the most ringing endorsement, but he's not the worst tackle in the league. You know, he just seems to take plays off. He just doesn't seem to always be on point, but he is what he is. He's, you know, serviceable. You know, he cost him a game, I think, against the Steelers, but I have to think Callahan's on him all the time. And I have to think if they felt like they had a better option, they would make a move because they're not just going to throw a season away not to hurt somebody's feelings. So they must think that they don't want to mess with DeJuan Jones at right tackle as a rookie. They must not think James Hudson's a better option. They must not think the guy I talked about, the 37-year-old 10-year veteran, Nasecki is a better option, or even moving Batonio over. So he is what he is. I think he's an average left tackle. And hopefully he'll get better. He is young. I mean, he came in really young. I think he's only still 22, 23, something like that, maybe 24. So, you know, maybe he'll turn it on in the second half of the season.
All right, fair enough. Let's see here. AWOC in concussion protocol. Jordan Kunasik?
Have we heard anything about him? I asked about him. Yep. I asked last week, he was eligible to come off the IR, and Stefanski said not this week. Nothing's been said since. Usually you have like 3 weeks to bring a guy back, and they didn't do it. Normally they do it on Wednesday, so I guess that he's not quite ready. Because with Walker in the concussion, I would have thought he would have been a natural replacement, but I guess not.
All right. So nothing on that front at this point. And our last question of the night comes from OG Philly. He wants to know, for reasons of his own, maybe he watched the press conference and suspected this, but he wanted to know if Stefanski seemed more irritated than normal in today's press conference.
He's tired of talking about Deshaun Watson, you know, and not knowing the answers and not giving out anything, you know, and it's, I don't know if he was more irritated. He clearly is tired of talking about a situation that he doesn't seem to really know the definitive answer to it. It's not like, okay, on this day, everything's healed or whatever. I don't think they're holding out and saying, we know he's playing, but we're hiding it from you. You know, at least to this point, I think they really are kind of waiting. And that's why sticking with the day-to-day. Plus, you know, he was being kind of ridiculed and Barry when they said we expect him to be ready after the bye, you know, and everyone, mm-hmm. I thought you would be ready after the bye. So they're like, we're not saying anything, you know, and I get that. So I don't know. He's just, you know, his press conferences are getting shorter and shorter because everybody knows a lot of it. It's right. Almost a waste to ask questions about it. You have to ask, but even Friday, it's like, those are the shortest one. He basically said, this guy's out, this guy's out, this guy's out. And that answers what we were asking all week, you know, if they're going to play or what. And then it's like, okay, he's done. So, yeah, I just think, you know, we talked to him in Greenbrier and he said, I always wish, you know, you guys were always upset that I don't answer the questions that you ask. I wish you would ask questions that I want you to ask, you know, which, mm-hmm. you know, was a little giggle time, but you know, it is what it is. He's going to be, that's the path he's chosen to go on.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's speculation here that I like to end the show early. That's not true. I like to be punctual. The bourbon gets better at 8 o'clock right on the dot. So we are going to end at 8 right on the dot, just like we should, so we can all keep our appointments after OBR Weekly. And Fred, as always, sir, thank you very much for your wisdom, Sensei Fred. And thank you, everyone, for attending and hanging out with us while I bothered Fred with all my questions and chatter. And please join us again next week at 7 o'clock. Hopefully following a second win in a row against the Indianapolis Colts on OBR Weekly. We'll see you next weekend or next Wednesday, folks. Later.
Thank you. See you.
It was a very bright, shining light,
Sarajevo,
and they needed to kill that light.
From producers Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, explore how art and music sustained hope during the siege of Sarajevo, thanks in part to humanitarians and the band U2.
U2, they represent a personification of our resistance.
The Hollywood Reporter hails Kiss the Future, moving and inspirational.
Kiss the Future! Viva Sarajevo!
Kiss the Future, new documentary now streaming exclusively on Paramount+. Go to Paramount+ to try it free. Terms apply.